Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
So oftentimes the Lord puts so many things in your spirit and your heart. Sometimes people complain about the length of the services and different things. And I find myself, brothers and sisters, so many times having to press and to tarry maybe a little longer than what you would like. I got to know that I've delivered. Amen. And if I was maybe a better speaker or orator, maybe if I spent more time before the Lord God and the throne of God, maybe I could come and make a more precise delivery or quicker or whatever. Amen. Just pray for me. Amen. I want to be utilized in the Spirit of God. But there's been times I've had to continue to press and travail until I got a release from the Spirit of God. Amen. And sometimes it's not just in my part, it's in your part of receiving and drawing and hearing and taking heed to what is being spoken forth. Amen. And as I've said here from the sacred desk, you know, a lot of times you're looking for, you know, maybe a lengthy or timely message or some great thing, but sometimes it's one word that'll set you free. One word when it's quickened to your spirit. One word when it comes and finds that place. It's like that one seed. It's not the multitude of the seeds that leaves the loins of man. It's the one that enters in out of the thousands or millions of them that are released and going into this woman. It's one that makes them, and that's the one that brings forth a life. And out of all the things said, yes, a lot of them are making preparation or struggling there, but when that one penetrates and that one gets there, then all of a sudden there's something that just comes alive, something that comes strong, something made known. Amen. And you find a wonderful move down within. Just as that mother finds that little child kicking and moving down within, you'll find this thing moving down in your innermost being, and you know what it is. It's life. Amen. Hallelujah. So the thing is, you say, well, you express that as a man and never been with child. And Paul said that he travailed until Christ be formed in you. Amen. And the thing is, brethren, we find ourselves in a travail. The woman saved in childbearing and in travail. Amen. And the thing is that the child's come forth in travail. Amen. So have you entered into a travail to bring forth the Christ child? I pray and trust and hope that you have been able to do so. I'm going to speak maybe a little bit about some things and just trust the Lord that He will bring the things forth. He has a way of bringing forth a unified thought, continuity, and something that will help you and anoint you and strengthen you and give you the strength to stand and be unmovable. When we think of strength, you know, we think of power. Now, when the Bible teaches about being filled with the Holy Ghost, it's being filled with power. I know in many of our Pentecostal moves and different things, we've got truths, but they take these truths and they take and put something, you know, turn you away from the real purpose of certain things, you know. And in the drug smuggling world, when they were trying to bring drugs and dope into the Florida, on the coast of Florida, many times the drug smugglers that were bringing these things in with boats and different things, they would go out and they'd get an older craft or an older boat and they would light it on fire and put this thing out there 2 or 3 miles off the coast of Florida, man, and here goes the Coast Guard, here goes everybody with all their attention, hey, we got a boat on fire. And then they would use that to put the direction in another way, you understand what I'm saying, for the law and all the people, and then they would take and bring in. And I find that Satan, those are satanic tactics, because this is what he does in many cases. Sometimes, you know, when you go to counsel people, instead of dealing with the thing, there's always something that's going to come up. Well, what about this brother? Well, look what this family's done. Or what about this one? Well, you know, we're not dealing with that brother or that family or what that one has done. We're dealing right now with you. You understand? When you go into the emergency room and you've got a complication, no matter how little or how big it is, and you tell the doctor, say, hey, and another guy starts talking to him about another case, you know, I say, well, right now I got this one for me, and we better take attention. It might just be a cut hand, but let's get it sewed up. Amen. We got to find these things, and so oftentimes Satan, you know, does that with people and personalities, but it does it just with you individually. You know, many times he'll take your thoughts and he'll take you and put you off somewhere else. And just because somebody else is failing doesn't make what you're doing right. If I was in a college class and I looked at my whole class and the teacher stands up and says, every single one of you in here are failing. You know, Brother Rob over here is failing too, but he's got at least the highest score of failure. He's got a 59. The rest of you only got 40%. You know, does that make it feel better that I'm the best failure? Or, you know, but I'm still a failure. Well, I've got to press. If my whole class fails, I still got to press. I got to make the grade. You know, and I know that when you listen to me preach like this many times, your thoughts go, well, you know, you're preaching salvation by works. Well, I'm preaching salvation brings forth works. You know, not that works bring salvation, but salvation brings forth works. If you have no works, then you've got no faith. If you've got no faith, then you're dead. If you're dead, you don't know the Lord because He's the Spirit of life. You see, there's things that run together here. So oftentimes we use the terms differentiation, you know, or dimensions, you know, powers. There's many words that we use because so oftentimes people take and they'll get a revelation of a dimension. You hear me say it continually. They crucify another dimension. I was in a conversation here just as recently. And with some people that are well studied and understand the scriptures and been indoctrinated. And I've heard this in other times conversation. The Lord took me to some things and was speaking to me about it. But they said when God came into the garden that He put this skin right here that you're touching and feeling and seeing right here on Adam and Eve. That they did not have this skin before the fall. And God came and put this skin on them. I've heard this by many people. But I'm just going to say some things. I go into the scriptures. And it said, you know, before this fall that God took the dust of this earth. And He created them and He breathed into their nostrils the breath of life. Now He took the elements of this world when He created them. And there was a part of them that was relative to this world right here. And then when you go on down in the scriptures and it said that He took and clothed them with skins. Now I brought some of these things out what it had to do with. You know, and the thing is there was an animal. You know, I find myself troubles and I find myself listening to messages and different things to confirm what I felt was right in my spirit. So I was listening to a message of Brother George and he said, you know, there's no place that I could take you or tell you this, but he says, I believe it was a lamb that was killed. He said, because it fits the allegory, but he said there was most definitely a beast or an animal that was killed and there was clothing made and put upon them. Now see, in this creation, you said, well, they were made in the image of God. Well, you see, what is the image of God? Now, some of you would say, well, we got to go to the Godhead. We say the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now, we know that we take these three and we use, again, the terminologies of differentiating them apart. Spirit. And then we have a manifestation. We say something that's seen, something could be touched. We say a body, the person perspective of it. And we start looking at this. But we find that the Son of Man, and we say the Son of God. I know we differentiate this and make them twain as the Bible does. But we find that this image was taken to the cross of Calvary. Amen. The thing is that we get into a lot of doctrines and a lot of thoughts and we talk about redemption, you know, redeeming the body and the redemption of the body. And some say, well, we're waiting on the redemption of the body. Well, the thing is, brothers, it was all finished and completed at Calvary. We're not waiting on the redemption of the body. The body has already been redeemed. We're looking for the wedding of that redemption. And that is when it is made known and made manifest. But back to the thoughts I'm saying is what happens is people will get a revelation over here of the second to do with the soul or to do with blood. And then they will, because of this understanding that they've been enlightened to, this understanding they've been opened to, then they don't keep their thoughts established or in order. And then they turn and crucify another dimension altogether. There's so many things that could be said about the garden and about the what took place in the garden. And there's so many different thoughts on it that are so, some thoughts are so sure and so overconfident. And this is something that I've learned to observe over the years that you could hear a minister preaching and he's dealing with spirits. And when he's dealing with spirits of people that are before him, he is going to close up a door where their mind is not established and out of order in such a way that he's going to close up a door that if you're not careful, it would almost tend to defile another dimension or another thought. And if you have somebody walking in failure, and I know it sounds like I'm speaking in riddles up here. I understand. I hear what's going forth, but I speak things by the mind of Christ, and you have to take these things through prayer, consideration, and through discernment and unravel some of these things. Amen. And I just speak by the unction of the Spirit of God. And it won't be veiled from you or hid from you that have an understanding or the Spirit of God that it could be received. Amen. You know, sometimes I question the Lord, maybe, well, why don't we just unveil this? You know, but see, that's not my place, amen. That is your place, because when I unveil it into an intellectual perspective to your understanding, then you could grab it in the wrong realm or the wrong place and put it in the wrong spot. But if it's unveiled by the Spirit of God and enlightened to you by revelation and through discernment, then it's going to be placed in its proper place. And this is what the problem is with many revelations, is they didn't come through discernment, they came through the intellect, and they perceived it through a natural natural understanding instead of through a spiritual mind. Amen. And this is where counterfeit comes in, and this is where familiar comes in and similar comes in. When we think of things that are similar, they sound right. You got Bible to back them. You got Bible to hold them and got Bible to strengthen them. But you don't have the foundation exactly correct. I remember my pastor came to me and he said, when you get your dimensions in order, everything will be all right. You know, and then when at the time he said that, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to try, you know, but I'm not sure if I even understand your statement. But as time goes on and the time, then you start finding these things being separated, being put apart. And sometimes, brethren, I can say some things are as far as the east is from the west. I understand that, but then yet on the other hand, it takes the word, the sword of the Spirit, to divide them apart. They're so close that it takes the sword of the Spirit to take and rend it, or to take the bone and the marrow. That's close together, isn't it? Amen. If you take the marrow out of the bone dies. Amen. And the thing is, it takes a two-edged sword to divide these things apart. So some of them we can't put apart because they depend upon one another to bring forth the expression of life. So in that little bit said, this is why sometimes that we find ourselves travailing in the mind or in the Spirit of God to bring forth some things to make sure that we have some things established in a proper way that we don't move certain things. Amen. To really understand what a genuine resurrection truly is. Amen. There's so many times as we're looking for the natural things, we've missed the invisible things. The things of God are invisible. Invisible spirits, invisible powers and principalities. The Bible says the Father is invisible and we walk in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and the Spirit's invisible. The kingdom of God's without observation. So while you are looking with these eyes, trying to perceive and understand and bring everything to your comprehension, there's an invisible world full of life, expression, and understanding. Amen. That you could learn to look into and walk into and fellowship in and find the real true meaning of life and the true expression of what life is. It doesn't bring exuberance to the natural of temporal life. It brings exuberance and strength to the Spirit. Amen. And so many times we're so much moved by what feels good, what tastes good, and what we desire and things that we really miss the things that are genuine, the things that are eternal. Amen. So remember, as you've heard me express about the little fish that's out there swimming in the water and you throw the lure out there and you go, boy, look, enticing to them and looks good. And this is what this world is to you. It's just an enticement. It's just a vanity. It's just something to get your mind off. It's a fire, so to speak. And while you're over there pursuing to deal with this fire, you've missed the real reality of what the things that are truly taking place and happening. I could take you over to Daniel, but I'm going to express some things this morning. I'm not going to turn you there yet because I'm not sure exactly, because the Lord has put a couple things in my spirit today. If I took you over to Daniel, I could find a man. You know, we think about when his great victories come in God. We think about, you know, like we think that this man's going to get this victory because, man, he's a man of valor. He's a strong man. You know, and man, he's upright and boy, and he's got a testimony. He's got a confidence and he's got all this. But I find in the book of Daniel that he had his face on the ground. He had no strength, and it said this hand touched him to even put the strength in him that he could even pick up his head. Amen. He found himself so broken, so defeated, and so down that just the intervention and the power of the heavens and the Spirit of God came onto him and moved upon him and gave him the strength to be unmovable and to stand up to seek after the petition and the things that it could be granted unto him. And so oftentimes we allow this false sense of strength. Amen. I'm not ever going to offer exhortation or reproof to any man or any woman that has tapped into the power, the authority, as we start out speaking about the power of God, the infilled life of the Holy Ghost is the power. The Bible said a form of godliness but denying the power. And again, in the Pentecostal dimensions and realms, we take this power to a gift. You see, the gifts come in the rain, brothers and sisters. The gifts come down in the rain. And you say, boy, I've received the power. Amen. But let me tell you, as I spoke forth the other day about the earth and having rain upon it during the garden and even to the flood, but the water come forth from in the earth. It's because it wasn't, hadn't been perverted or in the fall yet. And this is the way man is supposed to be. We're supposed to be nourished and strengthened from within, the innermost being, that innermost waters, living waters coming forth from the kingdom of God. You see, we find our strength within. It's not something that comes from above. It's something that comes forth within us. Amen. But the thing is because of the fall, and then the rain had to come to the earth to water because it It's lost its nourishment. Just as I said a minute ago about the marrow and the bone. You see, the bones find their strength from within. You say, well, I've got to get it out here and I've got to eat and this and that. I understand those things, but there's nourishment in the blood life that comes into the bone and through that marrow to the bone to give it a strength. The only strength that we're really going to find, brethren, is this inward quickening of the Spirit of the living God. That is all power and all authority. That's where we find it. But then yet we are in the presence of people that only know the power from the external perspective, and it rains down upon them. Amen. Not speaking in a negative way about the reign of God. Amen. But the reign of God is, I've had a man sitting in the back of the church here, and he said, man, when you were praying, he said, I felt this thing. It started in my feet. And he said, it felt like it filled my body up, and it just filled all the way up. He said, it felt so good. I've never felt anything like that. You see, but I felt it going the other direction. You say, what's the difference, brethren? What's the difference? There's one being filled and one was being drained out to bring forth the power, the virtue, and the anointing, and the strength. See, Jesus felt that leave his body when the woman with the issue of blood was healed. But he felt this virtue leave his body. He felt it go forth. Amen. Have you been partakers of that? Or have you just been one to feel the rain? Did you just get the goosebump and felt good? And, you know, got this thing that tingled on your body or this and that? Or have you ever felt this thing come from down deep, down within, and it comes forth? You know, we think of the woman in a travail, the woman, there's something down within them going to push and to bring forth this child. It's going to come from down within, a strength down within. It's going to bring forth this child out. But there's got to be this same travail in your spirit, something moving down within to push and to bring forth this life. Amen. And again, as I say, you know, we get to speaking like this and people thinking, well, you put too much emphasis on my works. You put too much emphasis on my deeds and the things that I've got to do. Amen. Well, let me talk to you about some things of life for just a moment. You know, the thing is that when the seed goes into the womb of the woman, there's something that's out beyond your control there. There's something that's taking place and a life being formed within there. And it's all because that human body wonderfully made by the eternal one, the God, the all of creation. Amen. But there still had to be an action on your part to get the seed down in there to start bringing forth this life. Is this correct? It was some sort of an action on your part. If there wasn't no action in your part, then why did God send ministers? Why did he send ministers to preach the gospel? Why did he send and put things down in the book that we need to walk in? You know, there's things that he told us to abstain from, to stay away from. There's so many exhortations forth in the Word of God. So the thing is what we do is, again, as I was expressing a moment ago about people having a revelation about this covering and about the Shekinah glory of God and about the inward quickening of the Spirit, but then yet they violate maybe a dimension. And the thing is you could come to a revelation that Jesus Christ paid the price and purchased you and put your name in the book of life before the foundation of the world, and that you're predestined in him. And I praise God with you. I rejoice. I teach this doctrine. I teach these things. But then yet, in all of the teaching and understanding and doctrine of predestination and understanding that your name's in the book of life, there's another understanding that we've got to take and apply all that supernatural, spiritual depths of revelation. We've got to call them forth from our innermost being. We can't have this thing shut up in our bones, this fire. It's got to come forth. He called us forth to preach the gospel, called us forth to testify, called us forth to be witnesses throughout all of the earth, brothers and sisters. There is an application and a process called works, because without works, your faith is dead. Without works, your faith can't be known. Works perfects faith. You see that? I mean, I got Bible for that. So the thing is, the most important thing that you and I need is faith. Because without faith, we won't know God, see God, or please God. And without faith, it's imputed to us as sin. If sin is imputed, then that's death. That's what the sting of sin is death. So the thing is if you pass from death unto life, you say, why? Because of the works of Jesus Christ. Okay, well then he's done the works, but does everybody have eternal life? When the Bible said it's a few be there that find it, a small flock. So the thing is, I've got full vindication from the heavens and from the spirit world to bring forth and to teach and to preach works. The Bible says if we commit our works unto the Lord, our thoughts can be established. This is, again, we preached the message the other night about girding up the loins of our mind. How do I gird up the loins of my mind? By established thoughts. How do I have established thoughts? By presenting my works unto the Lord. You say, well, you know, I know people that got their works to the Lord and they're busy working, doing things all the time. Their thoughts ain't established. I say, yea and amen. There's no reasoning under the sun. The Bible said the wicked live long and the righteous die young. You know? So the thing is you're going to look at the lies and you're going to look at the vanities, or let's take the word of God for its strength and there press in and walk in. If you're looking for something to justify that you don't have to have works, you'll find it. You know, you hear me say oftentimes about this Calvinist move, and they'll get upset with you. If you say you have to do this, they come against even saying what the church world calls a sinner's prayer. You realize there's no such thing as a sinner's prayer. There's never been heard in heaven. There's never been a sinner's prayer heard in heaven. I'm telling you, that's what the Bible said. His ears are closed to the cry of the sinner. So you say, well, man, that doesn't make sense. How do they ever find salvation before the world ever was? And I say, I don't know about that. Well, I do know about that. That's why I'm up here preaching and teaching. The thing is, brothers and sisters, the thing is this is why they need a minister. The Bible has the minister take their sins and remit them. And you say, no, Jesus done that. Well, I'm not going to take that away. Believe me, I know that there's no remission of sin except by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what was the last thing that Jesus asked the ministers to do? Go ye into all the world, preaching the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which we do that. For why? For the remission of sin. Amen. This is what our calling and obligation is. So we have contact to the throne of God. And we take this one before the throne of God and we pray. You see, the Bible says if there's any sick or afflicted among you, bring them forward into the church. Let the elders anoint them with oil and lay hands. Is it the oil that heals them? Well, we know better than that. But there is a point of contact in this oil that we pray the prayer of faith. And the Bible said that they shall be healed. Amen. So we do these motions. So the thing is, we take a man down and we baptize him in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So we go through these motions. And the thing is yes, it was the bloodshed, but we can't denounce the action of baptism. The Bible said, ye that believe and are baptized are saved. Well, you believe that baptism is necessary to salvation? Well, let me tell you how much I believe that. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he came and walked among men, he took time to be baptized, didn't he? And the ones that were filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts, and the Holy Ghost came on them and they even had the evidence of speaking in tongues. They heard them speaking in tongues and stuff like that. And it said, would any forbid these men water? Now, these men were filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, and received the Spirit of life and the power of God. And it said, would any forbid these men water? And they took them and baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So you think, well, I don't think baptism is necessary. Well, you'll die and go to hell if you don't think it's necessary, because my God and my Savior found it necessary and put it in the Scriptures. Do you think that everybody that isn't baptized is going to hell? I didn't say that. But I said, you will, because of your unbelief and your stiff-neckedness and your stubbornness, you will find yourself in eternal damnation. We don't defy the Word of God. Now, there's people that could come to a confession of Jesus Christ, and they could come in and they're making the preparations or not rejecting the doctrine of baptism. And if something took place, yes, they'd be there by the grace. People go to the cross and say, well, what about the cross, man? This one was over at the right-hand side of the Lord there on the cross, and he said he'd see him in the kingdom of God that very day. You know, he wasn't baptized. Well, praise God for the grace of God, but I'm talking about we have to fulfill the word. When you are God's elect, there's a drawing and a hunger in you for the word, and you're going to fulfill the word. And when you come across the doctrine and the word of God that you haven't met or fulfilled, there's going to be something in you drawing you and pressing you to those things. So yes, I do believe that there will be people that never found the opportunity, or maybe they didn't even get presented the doctrine of baptism, but then yet they fell in love with the Lord God, and there was something that moved in their spirit and their heart of faith, and they made a contact with the heavenly Spirit of God, the power of God, and receive the infilling of life? Yes. And they make it in, brothers and sisters. And again, I won't do away with the grace. But again, we've got to stay line upon line. And there's things is, the Bible says sin is not imputed unless there's a knowledge of it. Now the thing is the one that doesn't have the knowledge of baptism wouldn't be imputed to him as sin for not fulfilling it. But the ones that come to that knowledge and reject it, then it's a different case and a different thought altogether. You see, again, we say line upon line and precept upon precept. Amen. The thing is when people come to this kind of revelation, we try to fulfill it. But if I thought that they were going to have a chance of perishing, the brother Ken back here, he said, man, from listening to you and some of the things that I'm coming to understand, he said, I need to be rebaptized. I said, yes, sir, you do. He goes, well, man, I'm making preparations to leave right now. He said, but I'm going to be back here in the spring. Now, let me tell you, it troubles me. I would like to find time and would like to go ahead and do that. But let me tell you something. The fact is that he come to the known of the need. You know, I'm sure the grace of God would be with him. Amen. And on the other hand, yes, I should make some sort of a preparation to try to do something. When the little sister was leaving Bethlehem, going back out to California, Brother George said, I don't care what it takes before she gets on that airplane. I want her baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And I had done what the preacher asked me to do. Now, I had no intentions and plans of thoughts of going down realms of baptism today, but, you know, this isn't my service, and this is his. Amen. Let's open our Bibles over to Ephesians. the second chapter, please. Let's do a little reading here this morning. Ephesians 2, let's begin there at the first verse. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. First man Adam being a living soul, the second man Adam being a quickening spirit. And ye hath he quickened, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience. Verse 2 again says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. So now we're differentiating two different walks here, correct? We are the sons of God because we're led by the Spirit of God. We walk in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. So we're differentiating these different walks. Have you differentiated what walking and what you are walking in and by? Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations. He's numbering us all with this spirit of disobedience of times past. Amen. Among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh. Oh, I've never dealt with lust of my flesh. Well, you're dealing with a lying devil who's going to put you in hell. Lust isn't always sexual perversions. In many cases it is, but not in all cases. There's people that lust after things of this world, fame, popularity, sports, and things, and they perish just the same. Verse 3 again, among whom also we have all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, I'm going to say something right here before I go on a little bit. I'm going to talk about, for just a moment. Now, I could bring out personalities and I could call television evangelists by name. I could talk about these great prosperity messages and move. But what they're doing is they're taking people that are lusting after fleshly things and making it permissible by the word of God. And they say, oh, God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be in health. And God wants you, you know, this and that. And they've taken the prosperity message, because God does want you to prosper, but they've perverted it. Isn't this what Satan does to everything? They pervert the message. They take this message and pervert it into such a way that they're taking your lustful desires of fleshly things, fleshly substance. There's nothing wrong with having substance of homes and automobiles and things of such. But the thing is they take this thing. Lust is a strong desire. You should desire those things, for you don't bring a reproach to the name of God or the kingdom of God, that you wouldn't be numbered as worse than an infidel because you can't provide. So the thing is there is a place for to have these provisions. Men of God, great men of God, Paul sought after the things of the Spirit, but then yet he said, isn't it permissible for me to reap from you the carnal things? There was needs that they had. Amen. And there's needs that the ministry and the children of God, the Christian people have. You understand that? But they take because they've got lustful desires, strong desires for the things of the flesh, things of this world, things of this life. You see, there are needs that we need to be fulfilled and meet. But when it goes over and beyond into a strong desire for those things, then it becomes lustful. And it becomes something that will destroy us and eat us and kill us and cause us to perish. Amen. So we're looking for understanding of a balance of all things. Amen. And so many times you pray for the provisions and the things, and then these things turn into a snare. They turn into a stronghold in somebody's life that caused them to perish. Something that they prayed and sought after the things and the blessings of God, and they turn and sell their soul out for those things. Amen. So we look for understanding in the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord, that we could perceive and understand and know how to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit of the living God. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You know, the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. Now, we should be fulfilling that mind, the desires of that mind, but not the fleshly mind. So here we are differentiating again. We have a mind of the Spirit, of the mind of Christ, and there's the mind of the man laying within there. The mind of the man savors the things that would be of the man. It savors the things that would be of the flesh. It desiring the things that are temporal, the things that are mortal. That's what they desire. The things that are tangible, the things that they can touch, the things they can feel, the things things they could see, the things that they could taste. They desire all of those things. Now, there's a sign that even when you come to the mind of Christ and the Spirit, there's a thing that has to be satisfied. Do you realize that we have Bible and scriptures for the woman can't hold the benevolence away from the man or vice versa? Even when they go off into a time, it commands them that there will only be a season of time of fasting and abstaining from your husband or from your wife, because he knows that there's a fleshly thing that God made in the creation of this man for the desire of a helpmate or for the woman or for the man. And there's a time that these things have to be fulfilled. So there are times that when we understand spiritual things, there's a time that you put away food and you don't eat and you fast and you totally put it away. But the Bible teaches us and understands that there is a need that fleshly man has, that he has to eat and drink and do things. And it shows a revelation. The spirit man needs to eat and to drink just as well as the physical man needs to eat and drink. And we've got to differentiate these two dimensions. He said, drink of this water that you shall never thirst ever again. So there's a water that we could drink forth by the spirit, and there's another one, the natural man. But see, the natural man, he has to have this water, because if he doesn't have it, he will perish. He will die. The spiritual man has to have the very same thing, or he will perish and he will die, and the second death will get him. You understand that? So we have to understand to differentiate these lives, these powers, these spirits, these dimensions: body, soul, spirit, natural, physical, spiritual, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. These are things you say, well, I don't see that they're important. They are important, because these things bring forth revelation of understanding that we could be established and not moved and not tossed to and fro. And that we're not yielding over to one member or one weakness of fleshly things. We're killing those things out and bringing forth the things that really mean life or pertain to life. Amen. Let's go on here just for a moment. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Wow, isn't that such an awesome God? Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are we sitting at? Heavenly places. Can somebody tell me where a heavenly place is? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we start differentiating the first, second, and third heaven. Which heaven are we in? You see, this is where we have to come to revelation and understanding. You see, the third heaven you don't see with natural eyes of observation. You're looking at me and where are you at? Well, the things that pertain to this natural world out here are the first heaven. The second heaven has to do with a physical perspective, a soul realm. It has to do with the mixing of the spirit and the body. And it comes in that second dimension, and it's a transformation over the middle wall of partition. It's a door there. There's a place there to make access into the spirit. So we need to keep these things again into a continuity of thought and mind. Let's go on here for a minute. Verse 5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are in his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay, so we just differentiated two things right here. We find out about salvation isn't by works, but then yet we're ordained and predestined to bring forth works. Now, does this justify the preacher to preach works right here? You see, again, when we start rending veils, the Bible said that Jesus Christ made us perfect. Amen. He perfected us once and for all, the Bible says, by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. He says to be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So we find that in one dimension that Jesus has done the completed, finished work, and I'm perfect. Okay, but then yet the Bible teaches that he sent the fivefold ministry for what reason? To perfect the saints. So what are we going to do with this? That's contradiction, Brother Rob. Man, the Bible's contradicting itself. It says that Jesus made us perfect, then you turn around and says that he sent the fivefold ministry to perfect us. And there's a lot of people that get in a snare here and get in trouble with that. But there's nothing to be troublesome or snared about it whatsoever at all. You see, Jesus Christ, had made us perfect by His works. He has caught us away into those heavenly places and sealed us in. We're sealed in, hid away, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Nothing can be laid to our charge because that spirit man is pure. It is clean. It is the quickening. It is there. It can't be moved. It can't be touched. It can't die. It can't sin. It's taken care of. There's no travail there in that dimension. But then yet, when you bring that spirit out of that dimension into the warfare realm or the second heaven realm, the fight where the red dragon's at, the red dragon cast out of that third perspective, went all the way back into the earth, but he climbed up through man into the soul, and he's trying to get back into that third. Brother Pike used to use an expression. He said, it's like that worm. He said, it gets into the meat of that apple. You can take a knife and cut it out, and you still got a good apple. But he said, when it gets all the way to the core, it's no good. What he was saying there is when that thing progresses and keeps pressing you and you yield your members to it and it gets all the way into your spirit, then you're done. You're gone. You're twice dead. The Bible said some are twice dead, plucked up by the roots, but then yet they still walk among men. You see, people are in this teaching and doctrine that, boy, as long as I got breath, I could just repent and make it in. But, you know, we go into the scriptures and we don't find that to be true. Esau sought out with bitter tears of repentance, couldn't find it. And then what about Judas? He went back and took the thing that he sold the Lord out and he threw it on the temple floor, the Bible says. And it was unclean money. And they went out and purchased this field called blood. And they found him hung in the tree and they went and threw him headlong in. But he sought after repentance and could not find it. You see, when the Bible said some brute beast made to be taken and burned. You see, we got to understand this. And you say, what are you trying to say? You're going to put fear in us or whatever? Yeah, we need the fear of the Lord to bring wisdom and to bring understanding to us. We got to have that. Well, perfect love casteth out fear. And I say, yeah, and when you got that perfect love, it'll cast out that fear of hell and death. Amen. So we find here that we are speaking about one that's already perfected by the works. So we can't do nothing. See, I get on board with the Calvinist here. I say, praise God, man, I'm predestined in Christ. Amen. And everything's taken care of. Yes, amen. But then I'm going to switch gears and get on board with the Armenians and their doctrine about pressing and pushing and working and committing our works and praying, establishing our thoughts and transforming our mind and fighting this good fight of faith. And I'm going to get on board with them. Because they have Bible and doctrine as well as the others. There's a travail, there's a fight, there's a pressing. There's a girding up your loins, there's a putting on the armor of God. There is a travail. So you see, the thing is, I'm not violating the spirit dimension when I speak about the fight. I'm not violating the spirit dimension and the peace that we have therein. You see, you could be standing in the midst of a battle. You could be having 1,000 on your right and 10,000 on your left fall over dead as you walk through the valley of shadow of death. And you've drawing strength and power from this inward quickening of Christ in the spirit, knowing that you're hid away, sealed in, nothing could be laid to your charge, nothing could touch you. Have no fear there. But then yet this other man, you've tapped into this power and this strength and you brought this outer garment of iniquity upright into righteousness through the works of Christ and through the labors of love and through the casting down the thoughts and every vain imagination exalted self before the knowledge of God, and you've mortified and crucified that out. So when we think of perfection, there's a perfection in the spirit and there's a perfection we're pressing into in the second dimension to bring it upright that people can see a perfected life. And it's for their salvation, not to ours. I do the things and bring forth the works of Christ, not for my salvation. I bring it forth that others could see salvation, see good when good comes. You see, this is where we differentiate. The works that I'm doing isn't for salvation. The works that I'm doing is because of salvation, for others could have salvation and see good when good comes. Otherwise, they have no hope because they're blind. They can't see. This is the whole purpose that the Lord Jesus Christ come. He didn't come to perfect himself. He didn't come to do those things. He came in the perspective to bring forth the invisible things of life eternal, to bring them into a manifestation or a comprehension or an understanding. And see, we must receive this understanding. We must receive this knowledge. We must receive this word. We must receive this revelation. You understand? I know you hear me preach sometimes. It sounds like I'm against knowledge. I'm against the intellectual knowledge that has transformated itself into the mind of the beast, trying to make it into the mind of God. See, that's a different deal altogether. So we find ourselves in a struggle as you're trying to strengthen one over here and you're bringing strength to him. Somebody's taking it in the wrong realm, the wrong dimension, and putting a notch, so to speak, on their gun, and they perish and they die. So we have to have an understanding, a revelation, a spirit of discernment, a comprehension. The Bible said they perish because of a lack of knowledge. So yes, we preach knowledge and bring it to a knowledge, but this knowledge has got to come from within, not from without. There's a difference. When you grasp the Spirit, it comes up from within. When you find the move of the Spirit is coming from within, it isn't coming from without. When it comes from without, it's the rain. And it comes on the just and the unjust. But I'm not unjust, I'm just. I'm justified by the works of Christ at Calvary. I'm not just by my righteousness or my merits. That's filthy rags. I'm justified by the works of Christ at Calvary. I'm sanctified in the perspective of His finished, completed works by bringing Him into a manifestation in this realm and this dimension to bring forth a sanctified way to bring the man upright. The Bible talks about when the believer and the unbeliever are married, it said that the unbeliever and the children would be clean by the believer. You see, there's a revelation in that in the physical realm as well as the natural realm. And if you could understand it, this is why when I bring out the revelation of the weed and the tare, and I said, you know, you let them grow together for a season. You pluck up the tare, you get some weed. You can bring it into a church, into a family, or you can bring it into you just yourself, because there's a tare nature. That flesh mind, that flesh man is going to be gathered up and we say burned. You understand that old fleshly part. But the Lord lets these things grow together in a dispensation of grace. And these things grow together and you start getting a deep taproot of that weak nature and getting it established. And then you can start pulling out some of the tares. But you got to get that root, that taproot down in before you do that. And then there's going to be a time they're gathered together. The one part goes back to the dust, back to the corruption. The other one is taken in. When we think of the thrashing floor and bringing forth the product that has life. Amen. Looking at it as an allegory or to an understanding of such. Let's go on here for a minute. I'm going to try not to keep you too long this morning. You might not like just kind of line upon line going down through the scriptures like this. And I'm sorry, I love the word. Amen. And like I said, if I come here and just read the word to you, didn't expound on it all. But I try to, by the unction of the Spirit of God, by the leading of the Lord, try to speak little things to prompt you to go just a little deeper maybe, or to grab some reality of the word. Sometimes we just read it as a surface value and, oh, praise God, you know, and we take it as a little Bible story. You've heard me say this numerous times. Maybe I could say hundreds of times from the sacred desk, we have a God that is. A God that was and a God that is to come. If you only know the God that was and you got your little history stories, you see, you need to know the one that is, the one that is now, the one that is forever a helper in your every need, a present on a continuous basis. If you don't have the one that is now, then you're lacking, because it is the life. And it gives everything that pertaineth unto life. And then we think about the one that is to come. Most of the churches are saying, oh, I'm waiting and yearning for this God to come back to the earth. And they're looking for this. But that's the great and terrible day of the Lord. He's not coming back for the church, friends. He's coming back to the natural elect, the Jew. When he comes back to this earth in the same form that they saw him descending, he's not coming back for the church then. Listen to me. He's not coming back for the church. We are the bride of Christ. He's already came to us, or we wouldn't be married. Some people think, well, that's when the marriage is going to take place. Well, then that makes Jesus Christ a whoremonger. It makes him in relationship outside of wedlock. You know, if we are the sons of God, it's because we've been produced, right, by the Spirit of God. So there is a relationship there that the seed goes in. It said, the seed that remaineth in you keepeth you from sin. How did the seed get there? Through the marriage relationship and the knowing. And that's not going to be done outside of marriage. So the thing is I'm already married unto Jesus Christ. I've got Bible for this. So if I'm already married unto, he's done what then? He's come. Go there and tarry there in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. What was the power? It was the coming of the Lord to the church. Now he is going to come back to this earth. So they got Bible for what they're saying. But let me tell you something. The church is coming with him. And you say, well, where are they at? They're in heaven. We were just reading about it. What do you mean we're in heaven? I'm in heaven, man. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Dwelling in heavenly places, man. I got a peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh, yeah, but I live down here in this world and I get this and that. Well, if you want me to talk to you as a man for a moment, I can. Oh, wretched man that I am. At my very best efforts, my very best endeavors, I'm as filthy rags. Oh, God, have mercy on me. I ain't worth a count. Is that what you want to hear? I could talk to you as a man. Oh, it's appointed on me to go back to die, to go back to the corruption. And you see, that's the outer part. That's destined for that. Well, I believe in the resurrection. Well, I've already been there. Yeah. I already am resurrected. While you're looking for the resurrection, I am the resurrection. Yeah, yeah. You understand that? You see, the only way you can understand it is by differentiation. What do you mean you're the resurrection? Well, Jesus said it before his resurrection. When they asked him, he said, I am the resurrection. Well, what do you mean? He knew exactly what he was saying. You know why I'm the resurrection? Because I've already been caught away to heaven. We just read it. I've been heavenly places, dwelling in heaven, sealed in, hid away. How'd I get there? Resurrected there. The Bible said I was crucified with Christ. Amen. The life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith. What is faith? Faith is invisible maybe to you. But then yet when you believe and see and start seeing by faith, the invisible things become something that's seen, something that you could touch. Amen? So the thing is I've seen. What did you see, Brother Rob, in the invisible realm? If you haven't seen in the invisible realm, then you've never had eyes to see and you're blind and you're numbered with the blindness of the people of this world. So you've got to get your eyes opened up that you could see the things that aren't seen. You got to get your ears opened up to hear the things that are inaudible. You know, and these things aren't riddles, brothers and sisters. There's a real world here. This world that you see is the lie, the Bible said. This is vanity. This world of touch and taste and all that is vanity. There's another real world that you could truly see in. You could talk about it, you can imitate it, or think that you're there, but you know when you're there. There's something that happens in your spirit. You know, there's people that wander through this religious realms and they feel like they're born again because of an understanding or because they've come to some knowledge. But you know, the thing is a husband and a wife could have all the understanding of the relationship. They could understand the cycle. They could understand the temperatures that it's got to be. They could understand all that, but it still takes a supernatural thing that's taking place down in that body to start bringing forth a life. And there's something in the spirit the same way. You could quote the word. You could talk about the word. You could talk about what was done, you know, and you could talk about what is going to do or is doing, and you know, but it's got to come a revelation. God that was, is, and is to come. And most of the people in this present day, they talk about the historical events of the Lord Jesus and talk about the future activities that he's going to do. But we need to be continually walking in his presence and understanding and revelation and fellowship with him now, or he's dead to you, but he's really alive in us. Amen. I pray and hope that you perceive what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to say to you. Let's read on here just a little bit. Like again, I'm not trying not to keep you too long. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye bring in time past Gentile in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Brendan mentions here. That at this time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Again, making twain here. This whole chapter is differentiating these two minds, these two worlds, the man part, the Christ part, or the spirit part, differentiating these things. You must be able to do this. If I would comment on verse 14 about this middle wall partition and what was really taking place, having abolished in his flesh. What was abolished? It was death abolished in his flesh. He had to come and abolish that death, the enemy of God, the last enemy of God to be conquered, and it's already conquered. You see, you just don't understand it. You think that people are still dying since the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. There are people dying a second death and being separated from God. But let me tell you something, sons of God cannot and will not and won't ever get one report of a son of God dying. It's impossible. They can't die. Why? Because the Bible said they've passed from death unto life. Amen. You might put them in a box and you might get the stench of that old carcass that spirit of life it dwelled in. But let me tell you something, that's a vanity. It has nothing to do with that life. Amen. When you talk about God is, God was, and God is to come, you got to know that the is part is alive forever in Christ, the part that's now. And the thing is it might be a day that it was a was, that you was a was. You say, oh, this is where my mother lays, or this is where my grandmother lays, or this is wherever who lays. That was them, but it isn't them now. They are alive, amen. If they are born again Christian, they are alive in Christ forever, amen. And some dispute this, but the others, there's an eternal life laying within each of them, but the eternity is what is being challenged, the destiny of the eternity. But the thing is that they otherwise would be put into eternal damnation where the worm dieth not. It's going to be eternal torment. torment. Hell wasn't created for man. It was created for those fallen spirits. But what happens is man marries unto those fallen spirits. You see, Satan has been around for a long time. He come right there in the beginning of creation, and he came in and defiled Eve. Through her mind. He's come into her mind and told her, look, this is good, it's pleasing to the eye. And he's still the same old slewfoot, the same old devil, the same old spirit of the Antichrist that's still here today. And he comes to you into your mind and he comes and says, oh, this is good, this is okay, man, look at this, this is pleasing. And then you partake and then you eat and you perish, amen. We cannot eat of the fruit of the knowledge of this world. There's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Amen. And when you eat up the knowledge that this world's got to offer, you've taken of that tree and you will find yourself perishing. Let's go on here just a little bit. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I'll tell you, the word's rich, isn't it? Let's stand together. I'm not going to keep you no longer this morning. I pray that you could perceive the things that are written here within the Word of God, that you could bring it out of the veil of the written Word and bring it into the Spirit Word. There is most definitely a difference. I am going to receive up an offering this morning for the family of this little baby Raymond. They are in their 9th day today at the hospital. There's some signs of hope, amen. Praise God for that, amen. There's some things that are happening. I've watched a little couple-minute video clip of his grandmother standing there talking to the little baby laying in the bed and asking him to reach out and take her hand. Now, see, for a little 2-year-old to reach out and take your hand isn't no great thing, but when the doctors are saying that there's brain damage from when the little child died and quit breathing and heart quit and stuff, he's starting to respond to people. You know, the family was rejoicing when the little guy smiled back at him and when they brought him in a balloon and he did say mama at one particular time. You say, well, praise God. That's not life yet, brethren. You know, little baby bound up and sick. I mean, it is. We see hope, yes. But we're going to continue to pray and to believe. Amen. We're going to continue to stand. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to believe. When you don't feel the infirmities of others, well, I don't know this man. I don't know who this child is. I'd rather be taking my time to pray or fast somebody that I do know. Well, you won't get your petition. And you say, you can't speak like that. Well, let me tell you something. When you start seeking out here after the well-being of somebody that you don't know, God knows that it has to be the Spirit of God in you. Right. And it's going to do that. But when you're only moved by the infirmities of your family or the infirmities of your friends, and you're only touched by those things, you're a natural man. If you only love people that love you, you've never found the love of God. But when you love people that despise you and hate you and spit in your face and crucify you, and you continue to reach out and say, I love you, I'll help you do anything I can, now you've tapped into the love of God. It's different. Amen. That's what I want. Amen. So we have an opportunity to demonstrate that love by doing good to them that despitefully use us, by going the extra mile. When they ask of you a cloak, give them your coat also. Amen. Let's exercise the things of the spirit world and the things of God. Amen. So we're going to receive an offering here this morning. You know, the thing is some of you have been in the hospitals with loved ones. Some of you have spent days when I was in there. You know, so the thing is we could show our support by reaching out in the way of finances. The Lord Jesus done that very same thing. He reached out and met some natural needs of people. And then they could know that we have a concern and a love. And our prayers, when they see that there's people that are unifying with them that they don't know, that they've never met nor never seen, and they're unifying with them and supporting them in finance and in prayer, that it can condition faith. Amen. And they could receive. Amen. I saw the struggle of getting faith. When you see your little grandchild laying there, seems to be lifeless, and watch them going into seizures and watching the struggles to keep their heart going and to keep them breathing with tubes jammed down them. Yeah, you could lose faith real quick when you're looking in the eye of something like that. But that's where we got to have strength, and one setting 1,000, two setting 10,000 afly and pull together. Thank God that the time that you couldn't muster up enough faith to make contact to heaven, that somebody was on their knees for you saying, God, I trust, God, I pray, God, I believe. Amen. So the thing is we got to be sowing those things, brothers. We got to be sowing those things. So we need to be praying, seeking, fasting, and doing things of such that we can see the hand of God move, and He'll move. See, I need a miracle in my family.
Amen.
I'm praying for another man, a miracle in his family.
That's right.
You see, that little boy die, he's going to be with the Lord anyway.
Right.
But I'm praying for a miracle. Somebody in my family dies, going to be in hell. So I'm praying for a miracle. Who needs more of a miracle? I need more of a miracle, but I'm seeking after one right here.
Amen.
For this man.
Praise God.
Amen. Because I can't do nothing in my own self and the one I'm doing, except be praying and seeking after somebody else's
Amen.
Soul and salvation and life. And then God will add the things that pertaineth
right.
unto life. God, you understand that? You see that jailer, when he showed mercy on them, sons of God, in the jail, his whole household was added.
House.
Noah
right.
found faith with God, added his household. Didn't say that they were righteous. Noah's
That's
the
right.
one who found faith. Can you find faith this morning? Amen. We need to. How do we exercise faith? How do we contend for the faith? How do we press into faith? Amen. But we're going to be petitioning the throne of God, expecting to see a substance of this little child walk out of this hospital. Amen. You say, what's it going to do to your faith, Brother Rob, if it doesn't happen? It ain't going to touch my faith. Amen. You know? And you say, well, I just don't see that or understand that. It's because you're working and living in the wrong world. What do you think it done to Jesus when he went into his hometown of Nazareth and there wasn't miracles wrought there because of unbelief in people? Amen. We have an enemy and an adversary of unbelief that is continually stalking on your doorstep and threshold of your life and heart. Amen. And we've got to learn to fight that thing. You know, we want to start getting conditioned. I have people that aren't conditioning themselves. They're not girding up the loins of their mind. You know, and I don't mean to sound possessed when I say that, but I'm talking about people that God has put in my obligation to teach and to preach. And these messages come forth in this church, not out of my choice. It's out of His choice. It's not my will. It's His will. It's not my church. It's His church. It's not my ministry. It's His ministry. It's not my words. It's His word. It's not my understanding. It's His understanding. It's not my knowledge. It's His knowledge. It's not my revelation. It's His revelation. You understand that?
Amen.
It wasn't John's revelation. It was the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. You say, well, John the Revelator. No, it's Jesus the Revelator. John just happened to tap into what was there. Amen. Praise God, as well as Paul did. You say, I don't know if I have anything to give. Well, that's why you need to then. If you don't have anything to give, this could change things. If you give your all or the last that you've got, it might change things and move the heavens for you. Amen. Can move the heavens and get God's attention just like that widow's might. And God open up the floodgates of heaven for you and pour out blessings that you cannot contain. Amen. Praise you, Lord God. Feel a wonderful presence, Spirit of the Lord. God has everything that you need. It's right here, and it's been here all the time. Just tap into it. Tap into it by faith and believe. Tap into it and find that nourishment coming forth of the wellspring of life. You say you're born again. You say that the kingdom of God dwells within you. You say that you've asked Jesus in your heart. Well, if you did, He's going to come forth just like when that old stone rolled back at that tomb and He stepped out. Amen. When He came forth and stepped out of that tomb, they say, we know that He is the resurrection. He wasn't one that was like the rest that they put in them tombs. Amen. He came forth with all power and all authority and life. Well, let me tell you, if He's living down in there, He's going to roll that old hardness of heart, that old stone out of the way, and He's going to come forth as the resurrection. Amen. And we're going to hear Jesus. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to witness His attributes, His love. We're going to see the kindness, amen, and the power and the authority. We're going to see the correction of a real true Father, amen. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.